that Daddy sometimes called you Peggy? Mm-hmm. How did you get a nickname Peggy out of Georgia?
It was a long time ago. I really and truly have to say, I'm not sure how it started.
Was that something that from Grandma and Granddaddy? Or
no.
Was it just
he
Daddy?
He started it.
Daddy did it.
Yeah. Blanche used to call me Peggy a lot. That's the only two. Well, Doc and Owen, close friends.
But that was as an adult?
Oh, yeah. Very much an adult.
And then I've got ages, dates of birth, I got those. Have you had any serious illnesses besides, I got the heart problems and the thyroid. And I didn't remember you having any other health.
I had a tumor removed in my right ovary a long time ago. That's when I was teaching Bell Spring.
No, you must have been just in your early 20s. Were you named after your grandmothers or anybody?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Grandmother Howe was Virginia May. Got the May from her. I don't know where the Georgia came from. Dad had a brother named George, but I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I think he just made it up.
Hmm. How about Aunt Blanche's name?
She's named for a cousin of Dad's that lived in Missouri. Thurman. Luke Thurman. I don't know who she married. They had a pony farm. We came back from Denver one time. Do you remember being there?
Mm-mm. I don't remember being there. Betty might remember it. She's better at remembering those things than I am.
Well, we didn't. At that time, they had done away with the pony farm. They were older.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I ever saw her.
And I wanted to put down when, I know when you started teaching in Clinton and taking classes at UT and finished your degree, but I couldn't remember when it was. Do you remember when that was? This is your final examination.
Yesterday, Sarah.
After this, you get your doctorate in family history.
I might have it in my billfold, I don't know. Let me go and look. Mom did this morning.
Well, I'm glad we got your degree in how to spell Bell Spring. How far was Bell Spring from Radford?
About 8 to 10 miles.
Did you live at home? Lived in a house with some other teachers, didn't you?
I lived in the Teachridge the first year, and then Mother got sick and I stayed in. I came home and stayed and took care of her. Drove. That's when I brought that little Chevrolet car that Dad cussed every time he'd get in.
What was the matter with her?
She had surgery.
No. Did she ever have cancer?
No.
She died.
Yeah, she had her breast off.
She did?
When I was in high school. Yeah. Hmm. Her right breast.
I didn't remember that.
I guess it was when she had that garter removed from her neck. They didn't say anything about thyroid trouble then, but
that they did it anyway. Yeah, I remember her being pretty sick, or not really well.
Yeah.
Not really sick, but not really well. But it seemed to me she died from Alzheimer's. She didn't have anything else wrong with her, did she?
No. It wasn't diagnosed as Alzheimer's.
Well, they didn't have that word then, but that's what it was.
I'm sure it was.
What did Granddaddy die of?
His heart.
His heart just quit working.
I bathed him, then got his breakfast for him, and left Fred and always bathed him from the waist down, put his clean clothes on, and he usually wanted to stay up, you know, sit in a chair, and he said, "I'm going back to bed," and Fred said, "Well, your breakfast is ready, so we'll eat." He didn't want to eat, and Fred kept poking food at him. He was eating some, so I went on to school, and Mr. Parrish, Cleo's husband, came up there a little before 10 that morning and said, "Your dad's passed away."
Yeah.
And Fred said he was sitting there reading to him, and he was lying, you know, facing him, and said he just took one breath and turned his head over toward the back, and that's it.
What a way to go. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
How long did he stay with you all? He was there for several years.
Six or seven. I don't know which it was there.
It was a long time.
I know it was six. At least six, if not seven.
Okay. So, locations. You all got married in Bristol.
No. We got married in Port Jervis, New York.
Oh, that's right. You got married. Yeah. What were you doing? Were you eloping?
Yeah. we had a preacher at the Methodist Church that we just loved. And he tried to get us to get married. Well, he got transferred. No, he went back to Paterson, New Jersey. Doc did, to preach. And he made us promise before he left that when we got ready to get married, no matter where he was,
you would come to him.
We'd come to him. And that's what we did. In December, the coldest, nastiest weather that has ever been in the world.
You needed somebody to put your feet in their knees at night and keep them warm.
you couldn't see how to drive. The windshield froze over and you'd roll the window down and put your head out 2 minutes and you'd have ice on your face. Oh, it was,
sounds like a hard time to be driving around.
Kept stopping, you know, "What can we do for this windshield? Keep it clear." I remember one man saying, "Oh, I've got a bag of onions in here. I'll cut you an onion in half. And you just every now and then rub that onion over the windshield and it won't." No.
It made the car smell funny, but it didn't help with the ice.
On the outside. Fred'd drive a while with his head hanging out the window, and then I'd
drive a while. So you didn't stay there. You just went up there to get married.
Yeah.
Then you lived in Bristol.
Yeah.
And you taught until you had other responsibilities.
No.
You talked till they found out you were married.
Yeah, right. And now several people knew it. Mr. Rubens knew it. And the gals there in the apartment knew it because Fred came up and stayed at the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't send out any announcements till the end of school.
Yeah.
And that was it. Married people could not teach.
Couldn't teach. Isn't that ridiculous?
I didn't care much.
You were tired of it anyway?
Tired of it anyway.
Were you teaching little? Hmm? Were you teaching little kids then, first grade? Or were you teaching?
You got moved almost every year.
Yeah.
I taught fifth.
Oh.
And I taught fourth. And I taught, first and second.
Yeah. So you did quite a number of
they
different
moved
things.
Around there. I taught fifth grade, I think, 2 or 3 years. I liked that.
Yeah. Fifth is just about the end of the good child.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When you get that pre-adolescence and they get kind of wild.
Fifth grade's hard, though, because you go from not very much subject matter to teach, and just to lots bury them and stuff.
Yeah, I was. There was something in the paper yesterday about the school curriculum in Winston-Salem, and that they didn't have. First of all, they weren't getting in the number of hours the state required.
Oh.
And then secondly, they were saying there's so many extra things that have to be taught, like drug education and sex education and safety education and all this stuff, that teachers don't have time to teach the regular curriculum.
That's because
which is
our parents do not do it at home.
Yeah.
And that's where it should be taught.
Oh, yeah. But it's not.
It's not.
So
parents are not even there to know they have kids anymore.
That's right. So, from Bristol, you all moved to Norton.
Right.
And how old were Betty and I then?
I started school in Norton.
Uh-huh.
And I substituted over there at the high school. Never did ask for a regular job, but I did substitute.
Yeah. And how long did you stay there? Till Indiana?
Uh-huh.
And that was,
let's see,
5 years? No.
Mm-mm.
3 or 4 years?
We were in Norton only 3 years.
Okay, well, I had the sequence right then. That's what I thought.
I think it's 3.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was remembering.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was reading some of that family history, the Greens, that you gave me in that packet, and Daddy's grandparents moved every year, or at least every couple years. It was amazing, especially when you think it was just around 1900.
His grandparents or
his mother's family moved, and you know the things that they lived 1 year in somewhere in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
then they lived a year and a half in somewhere Virginia. Then they bought a house somewhere and they stayed a year.
That was that old history that Uncle Fred.
Yeah.
Uncle Jeff wrote up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was real interesting.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why that happened.
She, Grandmommy Green, when she and Granddaddy got married, they went to live with her brother in Pennsylvania. In 1901,
mm-hmm.
as soon as they got married, according mm-hmm. to that history. And they were still there when Daddy was born, which was 1905.
She went up there. Well, I don't think they stayed from 1 to 5. I think that was, there was a break in there.
And they came back.
When she found out she was pregnant, she wanted to go there to have the baby.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking that was a long visit.
No, she didn't. They didn't stay that long.
5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wasn't pregnant quite that long. But he was born there.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I knew he was born in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, what were they doing
no,
there?
No, they're Bedford, not
Bedford.
Reading.
Oh, Bedford.
Bedford.
Well, wherever
Bedford.
It was, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
What did Granddaddy Green do? What was his profession? Because I don't remember.
He was never
working after I came home.
He was a bookkeeper at the, what was the name of the lumber yard? Some lumber yard there in Bristol.
That's where Daddy got all that business about writing things down and dates
and
times.
Well, he just kept the books, the money part. What his dad did. Yeah, that Fred's always good at numbers.
Yeah. And
that's what he was. He had auditor, is that what he had done at one time? A professional auditor.
Yeah. Well, I was.
He worked at, they sent him to.
See, when you start doing
North
this thing,
Carolina.
You realize what a little bit
you know that's
about
true.
All this. Because
he wasn't somebody that talked a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, he was retired by the time I remember him, and so he wasn't working then. So he was an auditor and bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, back to business. Locations I got. contact between family members. Right now, most of the contact goes through you. I mean, Betty and...
There's not very much to contact, did you know? I mean, Ruth and Emma, you know.
Yeah.
And we visited them when we came to your house.
Yeah.
And Ruth had had heart trouble, and they moved her bedroom downstairs, you know, mm-hmm. she couldn't go up downstairs. And I always thought, well, she'll be gone long before Emma. And I sent Christmas cards a couple years after that. And Emma's daughter wrote me the nicest letter back and said she knew I didn't know it, but that Emma died, I think she said 2 or 3 weeks after we were up there.
Hmm.
They didn't know that she even had cancer. She died of cancer in the lung, all that smoking.
Yeah.
And just got sick and died within 2 or 3 weeks.
She must have gotten pneumonia.
Ruth has lived. They lived together, you know.
Yeah, all those years and years and years.
Well,
all
their forever.
Life.
That was Uncle Will and Aunt Neil's house, you know. They all lived there together. I don't know how they did it, but they did. But Ruth moved in where her husband came from. And I don't even remember. I think I still have that letter. So I haven't heard anything from her
since.
But that's a... Well, now, one of the boys... William, I guess it is. It was chief police at Radford,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he's still there. But we never were that close.
Yeah.
The boys. But otherwise, in Mother's family, I know nobody else that's alive.
Huh.
Herbert and Romy are both dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie and Veda are both dead. My dad loved those two. I like them. She was so dirty now. he loved her to death.
He didn't care.
he loved
or maybe
her
because of it.
But there's none of Mother's family except the two Lawtons.
Yeah. Well, I remember family visiting, but visiting Grandmama and Granddaddy, not, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then going to see Aunt Neely and Aunt Aki.
Yeah.
Ruth and Emma and all those folks that were there in Radford.
And Fred's family, now Sarah Leslie and Sarah Tarrington, sold their house in Washington.
Yeah, and they moved to somewhere in
North Carolina. They're in a home over there, and I've got a letter here somewhere that Sarah wrote with the addresses on it. I wonder if I have it in the book. I don't think I do.
What I put down for that was, as far as I knew, was English or Welsh or Scott. Daddy talked about his Scottish mither.
Yeah.
And Joneses and Howells are certainly English in some shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I know, too. And so I didn't put anything in terms of ethnic style, because I don't think there's any particular ethnic style to the British background, sort of. Hey, Lauren, there's a big bird out here in this tree. It's a big bird.
Which tree?
It's a woodpecker. If you come back over here where I am, you can see it.
Which tree?
The tree that you can't see. It's up there in front
it's
of Irene's
one that
apartment.
You can't see. It's that big one behind Irene.
Yeah. See it in one of those low branches that doesn't have any leaves on it?
No.
Come over here and I'll
point. I see it. Yeah.
Is that a woodpecker? It's not a red-headed woodpecker. Maybe it's one of those pileated woodpeckers.
I say it's a woodpecker.
Because it's pecking on the wood. Looks to me like it's pecking on the
limb. Oh, I don't even see it.
It may be behind
the... Yes, I do. It's down all on the little limb.
Yeah.
I think it's a cardinal down here on the grass.
Yeah.
The birds were not out yesterday, hardly at all. Just very few of them.
They thought it was going to rain all day.
Bird.
A blue jay?
Yeah, we have lots of blue jays.
Well, they're big, too.
Yeah, they're big.
It didn't look blue to me, but
and
that may just...
mean.
They are.
Yeah.
They are mean.
Food out there for them, you know, and they just run everything off except their brothers and sisters.
How about religion?
Well, dance people are all Methodists.
So did you grow up in the Methodist Church?
No, I never went to Methodist Church. I went to the Christian Church, not Church of Christ, Christian Church. Everybody went there in our family.
So you attended that. And then you and Daddy went to the Methodist Church.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went all the way around.
Yeah. But you've got you that know. Picture of that Methodist church from Bristol.
Yeah.
Is that where the minister was who married you?
Uh-huh.
Was that the church?
Uh-huh. And we went to Methodist. Then we went to Indiana. We went to the Methodist church mornings and the Christian church at night. People thought that was odd.
It was before TV.
Yeah.
And the Christian is not United Church of Christ.
No, ma'am. No. It's just the
Christian church.
It's quite different.
Yeah. I remember going to church with her and having communion with the little cups they passed
communion
around.
Communion every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else was the difference in them? Oh, I don't know much about the Church of Christ. I don't know what they do. That's where Ms. Butler went, wasn't it? Yeah, Church
of Christ. Some of those Church of Christ thing people are pretty fundamental. And
yeah.
That's the Assemblies of God that get into the speaking in tongues and healings and all that kind of stuff. And then... somewhere along there, I think we went to a Presbyterian church for a while, but I don't remember where that was.
Presbyterian?
And
I never went to a Presbyterian.
You never went
church.
To a Presbyterian?
My mother went to a Presbyterian church when she was little.
Uh-huh.
She was brought up when she was little in the Presbyterian church.
How'd she end up in the Christian church?
Well, when she was little, she went where the church was. And it happened to be the one that was close.
Oh.
Was Presbyterian.
Yeah.
I had her little catechism at one time. She'd sit down and
recite it all.
Recite it all the way through. Questions and answers.
I'll bet. I'll bet. What kinds of, well, there's something about socioeconomic levels, and I just sort of fill that in, middle, which I think applies.
Yeah.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Issues with intense emotional charge.
What?
Issues with intense emotional charge. What were the things that were fought over or fought around? Money. No fights?
Now you think about our family.
I'm thinking about, yeah, you and Daddy and Betty and Julie
no,
and me.
No, we never had any fusses over money that I know of. Didn't have that much. Didn't have enough to fuss over.
Anything that was a source of tension or stress?
I don't think so. Because now, thinking of our family and Blanche's family, back in the Depression years, you know, Mac had no work, or Fred was working in the post office, and his check came regularly, and it was a good check. And we didn't have those. What so many people went through then, we didn't have.
I know. That was in Norton. Do I remember?
Well, Bristol too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you all doing, collecting clothes and having card parties and raising money for stuff like that
everything.
For people.
That was in Norton, but I mean, Mac was out of work. Blanche brought her kids and stayed on South Tide Avenue with us for a long time.
Huh.
Dad never was out of work.
Yeah, because he was working for the
city.
City by then. Uh-huh. I don't remember them. How old was I when they were, when Aunt Blanche was living with us?
Well, you mean when they came to?
Yeah, it was during the Depression.
Little. You were little. Long before school.
Yeah.
Started.
We, so that must have been in Bristol.
Three, 4 years old. Maybe 2 or 3. No, you were older than that.
Well, they had all kinds of.
They had troubles.
But see, that's because she married that Irish Catholic.
Right.
And those people are just wild, you know.
And he drank.
And he drank. And he drank.
Yeah.
And he drank. I remember that.
He died of a heart attack.
So you had you and Daddy and Betty and me and Blanche, Aunt Blanche and Bobby. Junior was. Was Junior there then?
Mm-hmm.
And Junior, so the four
no.
kids?
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot.
Yeah, a lot we got on all right. We made you all's clothes. And Blanche was a good seamstress. I never did like it that much.
Well, you sure did a lot of it over the years,
and
whether you
did.
Liked it or not.
I think sometimes about the little coats that I made you all out
navy
of Fred's,
blue.
Yeah,
navy
out of
blue
Fred's
coats,
uniforms,
oh.
His navy uniforms,
yeah.
And then lined the collars, and big collars with red. They were so pretty.
Yeah,
so
I remember that coat. That was a nice coat. Yeah.
You each had one.
Yeah.
But we were lucky.
Yeah, that was a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Bad time there for lots of folks.
We had a lot of people in the house, didn't we?
Yeah, Granddaddy Green was.
Oh,
was he still living? He had gotten married. He'd married Aunt
he
Kate
married
before
Aunt
then.
Kate. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he lived with you all. What? When after you got married until he married Aunt Kate?
No, he tried to keep house just like Dad did after Fred's mother. And he had to go out and buy his breakfast. He couldn't even fix breakfast. Not do anything. Couldn't boil water.
Yeah.
So,
well, Lauren's dad would never have been able to keep house by himself.
He stayed over there, I guess, he might have stayed 5 months.
Yeah.
I don't believe he did, not more than 3 months. So Fred talked to him about coming, and he didn't get anywhere with it. So I just went over and told him, I said, now let's do something with this house and furniture. Take what you want. And we lived on Maryland Avenue. We've got a nice room over there for you, and we've got a cook. Just come on over.
Yeah, so we did.
Spoiled you lot.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Have somebody to spoil the baby.
There never was anything in this world like you. Now, when did he come? He came before you were born.
Really?
Yeah. He went to the hospital with me. When
he did? Did
when
he?
Yes,
he took
did.
You to the hospital?
No, he didn't take me, but he went in the ambulance with me. Greg drove the car.
I told you about going back to the hospital, didn't I?
No.
Oh. That was how it was. It been turned into a nursing home. It was in my caseload, the Bristol Health Care Center. It's the old Kings Mountain Hospital.
Really?
And I went out to do their inspection, and the head nurse was a wonderful woman, but she was younger. The administrator was an older woman, and she remembered when it was a hospital. She said, oh yes, and she took me and showed me the labor rooms and the delivery room. The labor room was on the back porch. It was an enclosed porch. It was not originally part of the building. and where the nursery was and where the glass was. And your dad came in here to look at you. This is where he came, and all that kind of stuff is kind of fun.
I don't remember too much about the delivery room, I tell you. I could have cared less.
They didn't let you stick around much at that point in time. So how old was I when he got married then?
Let's see.
A couple years old?
No, you were older than that. Let me see. Well, I have to go back and kind of balance it with other things. No, you must have been at least, and we moved to Norton, you were,
was five or six.
Five or six.
Yeah.
Maybe about three. Probably about three.
So about the time he got married and left, Aunt Blanche came with the two kids.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
I guess people just had
how
to double
he
up.
He stayed there when Betty was born.
Yeah. Well,
he was there when Betty was little.
Yeah. It's probably a good thing he was there,
having a three
or 4 months old baby and being pregnant. An extra pair of hands must have been nice to have.
If you cried one time, at night or anything,
yeah,
and baby's crying, she'll be all right. She'd be all right. He'd be in there and have you up over his shoulder walking the floor with you.
Yeah.
He walked many miles with you.
Okay. So you don't remember any other sources of tension or stress? Or